الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah abundantly the way He deserves to be praised, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, his followers, and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Tonight's discussion actually is something that you probably have never thought of before, or probably never even heard of before, or you may have read it in the Quran for sure, if you've read the Quran in a language which you understand, but you really never maybe reflected on what is intended, or you never really thought of how to understand this in the right context. This is something that, of course, the people of bid'ah and innovation and misguidance have differed extensively concerning. They've interpreted these ayat again according to their ways of tamthil and ta'til and takif, by denying the meaning or resembling Allah to His creation or likening Allah to His creation, or showing how, speaking of the manner in which these things were done. But as we mentioned, and just to go back to the basics, as they say, and establish the foundation of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. What is the foundation of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? The one ayah that no one can afford to come to this class and not have memorized, otherwise you'll be wasting your time. That's another one. Nah, ya Shaykh, not the ayah. Brothers, you're out of context. We're dealing with the ayah that deals with the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not the love of the Prophet. What is the ayah that we always use against the people who deny the verses, deny the qualities of Allah, or liken Allah to His creation? There's one ayah.
There's nothing but Allah.
Yeah. No. Aywa, alhamdulillah. I thought, Allah, I was going to leave, man. Laysa kamithlihi shay. Wa huwa as-samiu. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There's nothing like unto Him. This is the foundation of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This ayah is what is, without understanding this ayah, you cannot understand Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah Aqidah. You cannot understand this book, you cannot understand the names and attributes of Allah. Because the ayat or the attributes of Allah, some of them may indicate something that we human beings possess, such as hearing. You hear and Allah hears. You see and Allah sees. So if you don't understand this ayah, then you will think that Allah is like His creation, right? That His hearing is like our hearing, or His seeing is like our seeing. But when you understand, it's in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 11, FYI. Surah Ash-Shura, verse 11. When you understand, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there's nothing like unto Him, then when Allah says that He is As-Sami'u al-Basir, and the ayah, that's how it ends, by the way. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. When you understand this, وَعَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ, in the right context, then you will never think that Allah's hearing is like that of His creation. Why? Because Allah said, there's nothing like unto Him. And I remember, for those who were attending the classes in the earlier generation, prior to the recent generation, we struck a worldly example to explain what is intended by the fact that there's nothing like unto Him. And for the benefit of the newcomers, I would repeat that. Imagine, I said, I used to give this example, I don't know if you find it befitting or not, that this is an HTC. I'm not trying to, you know, advertise anything, but this is a phone, right? And you know, they have different models and versions. Every time they come up with a newer one, which, you know, is far better than the old one, after you paid a lot of money for the first one. Anyways, let's say Brother Muhammad has, there's a new one, he has, there's a new phone, both of us have this HTC, and then there's a new version that was just released that he has not seen yet. Tayyib. So I tell him, Ibrahim, Muhammad, did you hear about the brand new HTC, whatever the number, this number that it has, the model number? He say, no, I haven't. Okay. So now if I want to explain to him what this new phone is like, what do? I use the phone that we both have as the foundation. I say, you know how your phone looks? He says, yes. I say, it's almost the same, but wider screen. So in his mind, he has this image in his mind. And then he starts imagining one with a wider screen. I say it has extra four buttons. Instead of the four, it has eight. One is green, one is yellow, one is blue, one is red. So his mind will start. Now he may be right, he may be wrong. But to some extent he will develop a concept of the new phone based on the original image that he has ingrained in his mind. But so we said whenever then if someone has never seen something or there's something like it, then you always use something that the person can relate to explain what that other thing is like. And even in that case, their imagination 99% will be wrong. He will not be able to imagine it accurately as the model is. When he sees it, he'll be like, oh okay. He would have had a particular image, but then the thing wasn't really what he thought. But still, that foundation, alaykum salam, helps, right? Tayyib. Then we struck another example, and every time I come up with a new name, I don't know what I'm going to use this time. Let's say that there was a brand new item, which called parpur. Okay, I don't know if that means anything in some language. I hope it doesn't mean anything in some language you speak. Sometimes you say a word that means something else. Whatever you want to call it. Okay, that thing is not an electronic. It is not a car. It is not an animal. It's like nothing you've seen. And I sit there telling Ibrahim, I'm trying to explain to Ibrahim, have you seen it? And Ibrahim is like, give me some description. He said, well, there's no common denominator between me and him that I could use it as a basis. I could say it's big. But big is relevant. This is big compared to an ant. And an elephant is big compared to a mouse. And a mountain is big compared to... So big is big. That doesn't mean anything. But it's wide, similarly. So the idea is I could sit for days, for months, for years trying to give him description. If I don't give him an image that he already is aware of, I will be able to do nothing for him. And whatever he's imagining will be false, for sure. He may be very far from what I'm trying to describe. And this is if I'm able to describe it. So when there's nothing like that thing, you will not be able to perceive it. So when Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, how are you going to understand these things when there's nothing you can compare Allah to? So that whatever the creation has is unlike the Creator. So you have no basis for you to understand. That's why we don't do tamthil, which is likening Allah to His creation, because Allah is unlike His creation. So then when we compare, we were unable to compare. Is that clear? So this is لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. And that is applicable to every one of the attributes of Allah. Anytime you come across any attribute or quality of Allah in the Quran, you must implement this particular qaida, this principle. Without that, you will be led astray by those who are leading the people astray by giving them false understanding of the ayat. So then, ikhwan, you must have this clearly understood. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto Him. Nothing. So whatever you're imagining, it's wrong. So if you cannot imagine, because Allah did not give you the means to be able to imagine, then you don't do that. Because you will be wrong. You'll be giving Allah an attribute that you'll be imagining Allah in a way that doesn't befit His majesty. You see what I'm saying? So that's why Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah are very particular about these things. And so they hold this position of safety, which is the position of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, which is that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't deny anything that Allah says in the Quran. We can't. We cannot deny to say, wallah, what is intended by the hand is power. Because Allah did not use the word quwwa. He used the word yadain. Yadain in one context. Allah mentioned that He had two hands. And both of them right according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one can come and say no. When Allah mentioned that in the Quran. At the same time, no one can come and imagine Allah's hands and think of a man or a woman or anything of the creation. Because the word hands is vast. The table has hands. And the elephant has hands. And the ant has hands. And we have hands. Just the word, the only thing common is the word. The terminology. The essence of it, there's a vast difference between the hands. So if this is the case between the creation, then what about between the creation and the creator? Then the difference is even more vast. You see what I'm saying? So we don't deny what Allah said in the Quran. At the same time, we don't liken Allah to His creation by saying Allah is like that or like that, as it's the attitude of the disbelievers. So now that that is clear, I hope. If it's not clear, we may elaborate on it later. We will deal with the ayat, ayat sifat al-maji'i wal-ityan. The ayat dealing with the attribute of coming. Coming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming. Maji and Atiyan are synonymous in English. Both of them mean the same thing. In Arabic, there may be some slight variation because of the wording of the hadith in the Quran, the ayat. But the English-wise, it's all coming. But now, maybe you've read this ayah before. You must have if you read the Quran at least once in your life. But you probably never thought of it before. ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى لإثبات صفة المجيء والإتيان آيات أربعة. The مؤلف, the author, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh, had mentioned in order to affirm the quality of Allah, which is the quality of coming, he said mentioned four ayat from the book of Allah. Four. Ayah number one, the first ayah. Let me give you the reference first. Citation is from chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 210. Baqarah 210. قوله تعالى هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيهم الله في ظلل من الغمام والملائكة وقضي الأمر وإلى الله ترجع الأمور. Do they then wait for anything other than Allah should come to them in the shadows of the clouds and the angels, then the case would be already judged and to Allah return all matters. To Allah return all matters for decision, that is. But did you hear the wording? I repeat. Do they wait for anything other than Allah should come to them and the angels? هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَيْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ from يَأْتِي أَتَى he came, يَأْتِي the verb, and the past is أَتَى, verb يَأْتِي, يَأْتِيَهُمْ Allah and the ha and the meme is in reference to the ones that we're speaking to, the people, which is the disbelievers in this particular case. Which is called the damir muttasil. Al-damir muttasil ha wal-meme lil-jam'a. The Shaykh will explain, rahmatullah alayh. قَوْلُوا هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ هَلْ إِسْتِفْهَامُ بِمَعْنَ النَّفِي هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ هَلْ here is actually a question. But in this context, it's for nafi, it's for negation. It is a question in the form of negation. Okay? Meaning, I cannot give you one in English, but that's how it is in Arabic. It's an interrogative, طيب, but what is intended behind that is to negate. To negate, meaning no. Meaning, we will see. يعني ما ينظرون وكلما وجدت إلا بعد الاستفهام فالاستفهام يكون لفي meaning they're not waiting. Okay, this is what is intended. It is a question, but what is intended is to negate. Negate the fact that they're waiting. I mean, because they're not waiting for that. Because if that happens, it's all done. It's all said and done. The Shaykh said, whenever illa comes afterwards, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ illa, that means that this kind of question is trying to prove negation. Okay, negating the meaning. هذه قاعدة. The Shaykh said, this is a principle. قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ هَلْ أَنْتَ إِلَّا إِصْبَعْ دُمِيتْ أي ما أنت. The Prophet ﷺ said when a finger, his finger was cut, he said, "Are you but?" Yeah, there you go. Found the example in English. Are you but a finger that bled? Which is you're nothing but a finger that bled. You see it? Are you but a finger that bled? It's a question. But what is intended? You're nothing but a finger that bled. It's negating. Is that clear? Now it's clear. Are you sure? Are you a finger? Are you not? Are you anything but a finger that bled? Which means you're nothing but a finger that bled. So it's a question. What is intended is negating, meaning that's all you are. That's all you are. It's negating anything else.
Actually, aren't you but a finger that bled?
Aren't you?
Yes.
Probably yes. Naam. Zakallah khairan. That's more grammatically correct. Zakallah khairan. Aren't you but a finger that bled? Yes. Sah. Ahsant. ومعنى ينظرون هنا ينتظرون ينظرون the Shaykh said here means ينتظرون what does ينتظرون mean what does ينظرون mean ينظرون to see see ينتظرون waiting فينظر to see ينتظر to wait and sometimes the meaning is the same such as these ayat in the Quran. The Shaykh said rahimahullah here, ينظرون means ينتظرون. Why? لأنها لم تتعدى بإلا. because it was not followed up with illa, not illa, illa. يعني ينظر إلى السبورة. He's looking at. Here إلى means at, not to. Okay, he's looking at that particular thing. So whenever there's ينظرون إلى, that means the sight that comes to mind. Whenever it's not, A. فلو تعدد بإلى لكان معناها النظر بالعين غالبا. Usually this is said. Most commonly, it means that looking with the eye. If إلى comes after ينظرون. أما إذا تعدت بنفسها فهي بمعنى ينتظرون. If it comes individually, then it means ينتظرون, waiting. أي ما ينتظر هؤلاء المكذبون إلا أن يأتيهم الله في ظلل من الغمام. Meaning what are they waiting for? Except that these beliars, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to them in the shadows of the clouds, and that is when, on the day of judgment. وذلك يوم القيامة. يأتيهم الله في ظلل. وفي هنا بمعنى مع, that Allah will come to them with the shadows of the clouds. And the Shaykh rahimahullah said here, في means with. في means with. فهي للمصاحبة وليست للظرفية قطعا. It is that of companionship and not that of preposition, because it cannot be preposition. It cannot be preposition here. فلأنها لو كانت للظرفية لكانت الظلل محيطة بالله. Because if it was a preposition meaning in, that means that the clouds will encompass Allah. And we know, ومعلوم أن الله تعالى واسع عليم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى is vast and is the most knowledgeable. ولا يحيط بشيء به شيء من مخلوقاته. And nothing encompasses Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So then it cannot be possible that the clouds will be surrounding Allah in this particular fashion, or that Allah will be in there Azza wa Jal, because that indicates that the creation is encompassing Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of His creation encompasses Him. So here, and this is valid in the Arabic language of course, here fi means that of companionship, and not that of preposition, which means in.
How would you use the lesson that you use now?
Allahu A'lam. This is from the Allahu A'lam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made many things that test. That's why He revealed in the Quran ayat muhkama wa ayat mutashabihat. Ayat that are entirely clear and others that are ambiguous. Otherwise Allah could have made the whole Quran straight. He could have mentioned everything we need. No sunnah, no nothing. All these are tests for the creation. So Allah will make a distinction between the righteous and the evil, the truthful and the liar, and so on and so forth. So this is from the test. You will find that Allah allowed to these things to happen in order to test His creation, to see who will follow and who will turn away. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Al-muhim, فَفِي ظُلَلْ أَيْ مَعَ الظُلَلْ, meaning with the shadows of the clouds. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ نُزُولِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى لِلْفَصْلِ بَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend on the day of judgment in order to judge between His servants, the heaven shall be rent asunder with clouds. غمام أبيض, the Shaykh said, white clouds. ظلل عظيمة, and great shadows. لمجيء الله تبارك وتعالى, for the coming of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Again, how does anyone, can anyone say how this coming will occur? No. Why? Because Allah did not give us knowledge of that. So we cannot speak about Allah without knowledge. And because there's nothing like Allah. So whatever kind of coming that you can imagine a king coming to a place, you can imagine your parents coming to the house, whatever form of coming that comes to mind is unlike that of Allah's. So then there's no point, because there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But do we go to the other extreme? Because we have these both deviant sects in Islam, and we deny the ayah. We say no, it cannot possibly mean that. But Allah said in the Quran, Quranun Arabiyun Mubin. It's an Arabic Quran, manifest, clear. And Allah mentioned all over the Quran that إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. Verily this Quran will guide you to that which is more straight. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. I mean, all of these, you're going to deny all of them. You're going to say that the Quran means something hidden, and there's a subliminal message in the Quran that we don't understand, and you're denying all of these ayat which Allah mentioned about the Quran being source of guidance and clarity. So then we accept it as it is, while understanding that there's nothing like Allah, no problem. SubhanAllah, no problem. Really, there's no problem. Who creates the problem? When the people deny that. and they try to find some hidden meaning, or they try to interpret it by doing tanzih, which is yani glorifying Allah above any deficiency, and they go to the extreme where they deny the clear ayat of the Quran, as it was their tendency to do as usual. طيب. وقوله في ظلل من الغمام الغمام قال العلماء إنه السحاب الأبيض. As we mentioned, the clouds, the علماء say this is the white clouds. كما قال تعالى ممتنا على بني إسرائيل وظللنا عليكم الغمام. As Allah told us when He was reminding the children of Israel of His favors upon them, and we shaded you with the clouds. والسحاب الأبيض يبقي الجو مستنيرا. White clouds keep the environment or the skies illuminated. Okay, keeps the illumination. بخلاف الأسود والأحمر, unlike the black or the red cloud, which do not do that. فإنه تحصل به الظلمة. You have darkness then. وهو أجمل منظرا. And the white clouds are better looking, are prettier in appearance than the black and the red clouds. وقوله والملائكة. And the malaika as well. والملائكة بالرفع معطوف على لفظ الجلالة الله عز وجل. والملائكة يأتيهم الله والملائكة. What is the significance of that in the grammar? No. Both of them end with a dhamma. What does that mean? مرفوع. Now if there's a verb and then the word that comes after or before is مرفوع, what does that mean? That's the doer of the action. الفاعل. المبتدا is a whole other discussion right now. أكل الولد التفاحة. أكل, he ate. الولد, you have to say ولد. Hey, because he's the فاعل. So يأتيهم الله والملائكة, meaning both are the فاعل. Otherwise it could mean something else. This is why it's very important to know this. For example, the ayah إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. Look how important this فتحة and ضمة that people don't know. إنما يخشى الله. Now Allah here ends with a فتحة. That's مفعول به, meaning the object. Okay. If a person made him, and then how does it end? يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. Ooh. Because this is the فاعل. So then the meaning becomes, verily the only ones who fear Allah amongst His creation are the scholars. If someone made a mistake and he said إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءَ, then he said that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who fears the scholars. Big problem with the Dhamma and a Fatha. So now this is significant because here it says يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ, meaning this is ma'tuf. يعني this is relevant to the fa'il. Both of them are fa'il in this case. And حرف العطف is waw. Is that link between them? She أتى محمد وعبد الرحمن وعبد الرحمن وكذا و all of them are فاعل. حرف عطف. إيه. نعم. It's like a conjunction, I believe. طيب. وقوله في ظلل من الغمام. طيب. The Sheikh mentioned that. نعم. الملائكة, as he said, then this is also in reference معطوف with لفظ الجلالة, which is Allah. يعني أو تأتيهم الملائكة, or the angels will come to them. That's what is intended now in the English, that the angels will come, not that someone will go to the angels. وسبق بيان اشتقاق هذه الكلمة ومن هم الملائكة. The Sheikh said already we discussed what were the derivative, where the word was derived, the word ملائكة. You know, this was done previously. والملائكة تأتي يوم القيامة لأنها تنزل في الأرض. And the angels will come on the day of judgment because they will descend to the earth. ينزل أهل السماء الدنيا. First, the angels that will inhabit the سماء الدنيا, the lowest heaven, which is the one that is above us immediately. ثم الثانية, then the second. بعد ثم الثالثة, ثم الرابعة, and the third and the fourth. وكذلك وهكذا, and so on and so forth. إلى السابعة يحيطون بالناس, until the seventh heaven, and they will be encompassing the people. And you know, if you read the ayat, the last ayat of Surah Al-Naba, you may get this particular indication, and other ayat as well. إيه نعم. لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له. Everybody will be quiet. This is a whole nother. اللهم استعان. اللهم استعان. صلى الله يرحمنا برحمته. وهذا تحذير من هذا اليوم الذي يأتي على هذا الوجه. The Sheikh said this is warning concerning that day, which will occur in the fashion as mentioned in the Quran. No one can deny that. فهو مشهد عظيم من مشاهد يوم القيامة. It's a great scene from the sceneries of the Day of Judgment, or from the scenes, excuse me, from the scenes of the Day of Judgment. يُحَذِّرُ اللَّهُ بِهَا أُولَٰئِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Allah warns therein these liars who are denying the Quran and the Sunnah, those who are the disbelievers. This ayah is a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them. So this was the first ayah. Al-ayah الثانية. The second ayah is in Surah Al-An'am, verse 158. An'am is livestock. Some translated to be cattle. But actually one of the brothers, may Allah reward him, mentioned that it's actually not an accurate translation, because cattle is really limited in linguistically to some extent to cows. And an'am is beyond that. An'am is not limited to cows. So livestock will be even more accurate of a translation. Livestock. Allahu a'lam. Mawashi, exactly. Na'am. Livestock is mawashi, which is more than just a cow. Hey, al-muhim. Verse 158. هل ينظرون إلا أن تأتيهم الملائكة أو يأتي ربك أو يأتي بعض آيات ربك. Again, very similar wording. Then, do they wait for anything other than the angels? Now, the sequence is different. Then the angels should come to them, or that your Lord should come, or that some of the signs of your Lord should come, meaning those of the hour, the signs of the hour. The Shaykh said, we say concerning Hal Yanzurun, the same thing we said about the earlier Hal Yanzurun, because both ayat begin in the same way. So that has been explained. ما كنا في الآية السابقة أي ما ينتظر هؤلاء إلا واحدة من هذه الأحوال. Or are they just waiting for one of these particular events? أولا إلا أن تأتيهم الملائكة. First, that the angels shall come to them. The angels. أي لقبض أرواحهم. What is the context here though? This is for the angels that will take away the souls, meaning the angel of death and his assistants. Not the angels on the day of judgment here. Okay? لقبض أرواحهم. قال الله تعالى ولو ترى إذ يتوفى الذين كفروا الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم وذوقوا عذاب الحريق. And if you could see when the angels take away the souls of those who disbelieve at the time of death, they smite their faces and their backs saying, taste the punishment of the blazing fire. This is Surah Al-Anfal, verse 50. He's using this to explain the other ayah. Again, you know, إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ. الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَنْ زُذَى ضَمَّ, meaning they are the ones who are taking away the souls. If you said by mistake الْمَلَائِكَةَ, then you're saying that those who died are taking away the souls of the angels. Again, technicalities. I mean, you may not, if you don't know, you're not held accountable. But, you know, alhamdulillah, it's good to have an idea so you will be more careful in your recitation of the Quran, inshallah. ثانيا أو يأتي ربك يوم القيامة للقضاء بينهم. Or second, that your Lord shall come, which is on the day of judgment, to judge between them, as mentioned in the ayah earlier. ثالثا أو يأتي بعض آيات ربك. Thirdly, that some of your signs of your Lord shall come. وهذه طلوع الشمس من مغربها. And it is the rising of the sun from the where it sets. فسرها بذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet ﷺ himself explained that ayah in this particular fashion. وإنما ذكر الله هذه الأحوال الثلاث لأن الملائكة إذا نزلت لقبض أرواحهم لا تقبل منهم التوبة. Now why did Allah mention these three particular events, these three states? The first one, because when the angels come to snatch their souls, is there any room for توبة? No room for توبة. لقوله تعالى وليست التوبة للذين يعملون السيئات حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قال إني تبت الآن. Like Fir'aun. And Allah says, and it is not of no effect repentance for those who commit evil deeds until death comes upon one of them and he says, I repent now. Which is what Fir'aun did, and that was not accepted by Allah, so much so that Jibreel stuffed sand in his mouth. Yani, be quiet. Because Allah told him in the Quran, Al-An, now you want to repent after all the zulm. He told the people, Ana Rabbukum Al-A'la, I am your Lord the Most High. ما علمت لكم من إله غيري. I do not know of any God besides me for you. His people. He disregarded Musa. He disbelieved in him. He rejected him. He did all this dhulm. And now at the moment of death, Allah, I believe, he said, I believe now. Now? This is of no benefit. Because خلاص, you see in the angels, you see in the thing, you see in the hereafter. There's no point in believing anymore. You see what I'm saying? If I told you, you trust me. I told you I have a phone. طيب? When does your belief, trust in me matter when you don't see it? If I told you I have a phone, who cares what you think now? But khalas, of course you're going to believe I have a phone because you see it in front of you. So that at that point, it's of no benefit. So this is what is intended, as the scholars explain, because they're seeing already what is coming. So then iman will be of no benefit at that time. So that's the first one. وَكَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا إِذَا طَلَعَتِ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. Similarly, we've dealt with this in the conditions of tawbah. Remember, when the sun rises from the west, فَإِنَّ التَّوْبَةَ لَا تُقْبَلْ, then the tawbah will not be accepted either. وَحِينَئِذٍ لَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ خَلَاصًا مِمَّا هُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Then they will not be able to find any outlet concerning that which they are upon at that time. وذكر الحالة الثالثة بين الحالين لأنه وقت الجزاء وثمرة العمل. And Allah mentioned the third state, which is in between both, because that is the time of reckoning or recompense, and it is the fruit of your deeds. You will gain the fruit of your deeds. فلا يستطيعون التخلص في تلك الأحوال مما عملوه. On that particular day, you will not be able to free yourself from the deeds that you have committed. The sins, that is. You will not be able to release yourself from them. They will come with you on the Day of Judgment and you will be brought to account concerning them as well.
والغرض من هذه الآية والتي قبلها تحذير هؤلاء المكذبين من أن يفوتهم الأوان ثم لا يستطيعون الخلاص من أعمالهم.
The Sheikh said the objective behind this ayah and the one that preceded it is to warn those who are the liars that it may be too late for them. And then they will not be able to release themselves from their deeds. يعني their deeds will shackle them, and then they will be brought to account and held accountable for them. That was the second ayah. Third ayah, everybody should know that one. In Surah Al-Fajr. You have the book? That's why, man. I was, mashallah, said the brother's good. كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكًا دَكًّا وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْمَلَكُ عَفْوًا صَفًّا صَفًّا. But what does it say? وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ. Subhanallah.
جَاءَ.
Your Lord, you know, how are you gonna deny it? You cannot deny it. Those who know the Arabic language, not the Arabs, because not only Arabs, some Arabs don't know the Arabic language, and foreigners know it better than them. Whoever knows the Arabic language knows what that means. You know what Ja'a means. It has a meaning. You cannot interpret it in any other way. But it is, in this context, it befits the majesty of Allah, which has nothing like unto Him, so you'll never be able to know how it is. You see what I'm saying? So these are just showing you how often this comes in the Quran, and how sick are the people who deny the verses in the Quran. And how, yani, the Prophet ﷺ never told his companions, be careful, don't say that Allah comes. Huh? What is intended by this ayah is not that. What is intended is something else. Never, ya akhi. These people who have another belief system other than the one we're learning today, they don't have a single evidence to support their deviance in their understanding. You need for you to say that, you need the Prophet ﷺ to explain to you as he did in the other ayat. When Allah said, for example, in the ayat concerning those who believe and do not cover their belief with dhulm, لهم الأمن. They will have security, and it is those who are guided. When this ayah was revealed, the Sahaba were stressed out. Which one of us does not have any form of dhulm, any form of oppression? And Allah said, only those who don't have any oppression will have security and are guided. Which we understand that if you have oppression, you will not have security and you're not guided. So the Sahaba freaked out over this ayah until they went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they told him, O Messenger of Allah, what do we do with this? He said, no. He said, the dhulm here is the one that Luqman spoke about when he told the son, Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Verily shirk is great oppression. He said, what is intended by dhulm in this ayah is shirk. So the Prophet sallallahu explained to them that this ayah, the dhulm in this ayah is that of shirk, not the one that you're thinking of, which me and you have. You see what I'm saying? So that shows you that the Sahaba, when something was ambiguous, they referred to Prophet ﷺ, in which in return he explained to them how to understand it in the right context. Why don't we have any such evidences about the ayah dealing with the sifat? Because the Sahaba understood already that there's nothing like Allah, so there was no need in discussing these things. You see what I'm saying? So that shows you, and I remember one of the du'at, and he mentioned something interesting. He said, Allah could have said in the Quran, Allah could have said in the Quran the word shirk instead of dhulm.
and there will be no ambiguity. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His wisdom, wanted the people He wanted the people to refer to the Prophet ﷺ. So you will not be independent of the Sunnah. So no one will be independent of the Sunnah and think, wallah, he suffice with the Quran. And you tell this to the Quraniyun, those who want to use the Quran only, say, according to this ayah, you're going to Jahannam. And if he's not going to use the hadith to explain this ayah, then he is declaring against himself Jahannam. Say, okay, no problem, all of the Muslims are going to Jahannam. Show me one person who doesn't have dhulm. You oppress yourself. The least kind of dhulm is the one you do against yourself by disobeying Allah and not fulfilling the obligations. Who does not have dhulm? No one. So the hadith explains the Quran. That's why they go hand in hand. They're both revelation from Allah. So that is one thing. So here, ikhwan, there are no, you read the books of tafsir, you read the books of the ulama, even you read the books of the deviants concerning the names and attributes of Allah, they will never be able to present one hadith where the Prophet ﷺ explained to his companions that what is intended by this ayah is something other than what we are reading. That means they accepted them face value. As they were revealed, they knew that there's nothing like Allah and they kept it as that. When things were ambiguous, they asked, they inquired. When things were clear, they didn't. And the Prophet ﷺ did not bother to explain something that was already clear. Yani subhanAllah, this aqidah is based on strong foundations that you must feel confident. Don't think, wallah, you're just choosing another path. You're upon the path, the only path that is correct, and everybody else has deviated from that. So you must have confidence, because people don't really know the foundations of these Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is crucial in this state. طيب كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا. Nay, when the earth is ground to powder, يعني it will be grounded to powder, and your Lord comes with the angels in rows, صفاً صفا, like the صف in the Salah is called the صف, it's a row, the first row, second row, so on and so forth. كلا هنا للتنبيه مثل ألا. The Shaykh said here, كلا is just to bring your attention, to catch your attention, meaning nay, and not necessarily that of negation. وقوله إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا هذا يوم القيامة. If the earth is ground to powder, is that today or on the Day of Judgment? On the Day of Judgment. Good. وأكد هذا الدق لعظمته لأنها تدك الجبال والشعاب وكل شيء يدك. Now it was emphasized, if you notice, ها ودكت الجبال عفوا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا, three times دكت الأرض دكا دكا. The Shaykh said this emphasis was mentioned in order to indicate the greatness of this act. So much so that the mountains and the hills and everything will be ground to powder. Everything will become just like dust particles that you see, the al-haba al-manthur. You know, whenever there's a sun ray coming to your house and then you see the dust particles that you usually don't see otherwise, this is al-haba al-manthur. Now, حتى تكون الأرض كالأديم, until the earth becomes like the leather, it's a flat kind of leather, just flat, there's absolutely no لا ترى فيها عوجا ولا أمتا, you find no crookedness, no hills, no valleys, everything is just flat. والأديم هو الجلد, the Shaykh said أديم is a form, a kind of leather, so everything is just flat out. قال الله تعالى فيذرها قاعا صفصفا لا ترى فيها عوجا ولا أمتا. Then he shall leave them as a level smooth plain. You will see therein nothing crooked or curved. This is Surah Taha 106-107. ويحتمل أن يكون التكرار الدك تأسيسا لا تأكيدا ويكون بالمعنى دكا بعد دك. The Shaykh said, and it is possible that the reason why dakkan was repeated twice is in order to re-establish and not for emphasis, meaning in gradual, meaning ground to powder and then another time and another time, and not necessarily just for emphasis. والله أعلم. وقال وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا, and your Lord shall come and the angels in rows. وجاء ربك يعني يوم القيامة, your Lord shall come, meaning on the Day of Judgment, بعد أن تدك الأرض وتسوى وتحشر الناس ويأتي الله للقضاء بين عباده. After the earth will be ground to powder and it will become flat, it will be a plain, and then the people will be gathered, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come in order to judge between His servants. القضاء بين عباده. وقوله والملك، اللام هنا للعموم يعني وكل ملك، يعني الملائكة، الملائكة ينزلون في الأرض. ملك he said الملك means to indicate encompassment or engrossment. He said every angel, meaning every angel will come. يعني he said meaning the angels descending to the heaven, as it was mentioned in the previous ayat. صفاً صفاً أي صفاً من وراء صف. صفاً صفاً is just meaning a row, and then behind it is a row. يعني in this particular sequence. كما جاء في الأثر, as it came in the أثر. An أثر we said, who remembers what an أثر is?
Analogy.
قياس is analogy. أثر. أيوة, we took that not that long ago, maybe a few classes back. We said that
it's a trace.
It is a trace, but it technically, legally, it has to do with hadith. An athar is a statement of a sahabi, a statement of a sahabi or a tabi'i. It's called an athar. Okay, and that's a hadith, is a statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A statement of a tabi'i or a sahabi is called athar. We took that before. What was it? Remember when we were dealing with the
sahabi and tabi'i, right?
You should have the note somewhere, Akhwan. Hey. Now, even the hadith, even the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, إِمَّا قَوْلُ الرَّسُولِ أَوْ الصَّحَابِ أَوْ تَابِعِينَ. So either the statement of the Prophet ﷺ or the Sahabi or the Tabi'in. That's what Athar means. But predominantly it's used for the Sahabi and the Tabi'in, and usually it's used the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. But sometimes it's used in this particular context.
No, the
Tabi'in only. Okay. Nah. Yeah, we took that before. All of us forgot, mashallah. Tayyib. Oh, the Shaykh will refute those who negated Al-Sunnah or Jama'ah. Hey, it comes in Athar, which means now it could be either a statement of the Prophet ﷺ or a Sahabi or a Tabi'i. تنزل ملائكة السماء الدنيا فيصفون. The angels of the lowest heaven, the first heaven, the heaven of the dunya, will come and they will stand in rows. ومن ورائهم ملائكة السماء ثانية, and behind them will be the angels of the second heavens. ومن ورائهم ملائكة السماء ثالثة وهكذا, and then the third, and so on and so forth. And so this was the third ayah. And now we deal with the fourth ayah. Fourth ayah, الآية الرابعة قوله ويوم تشقق السماء بالغمام ونزل الملائكة تنزيلا. And remember the day when the heaven shall be rent asunder with clouds, and the angels will be sent down with a grand descending. This is Surah Al-Furqan, verse 25. يعني أذكر يوم تشقق السماء بالغمام, meaning mention the day where the heaven will be rent asunder with the clouds. وتشقق أبلغ من تنشق. تشقق linguistically is more eloquent and stronger than just saying تنشق, which is to split asunder or to be rent asunder. لأن ظاهرها تشقق شيئا فشيئا, because it indicates that it is gradual. ويخرج هذا الغمام يثور ثوران الدخان ينبعد شيئا فشيئا, and then these clouds will come out and they will be like smoke. They be like smoke, just you know, a movement, and they will be coming out little by little. تشقق السماء بالغمام مثل ما يقال تشقق الأرض بالنبات. So then the heavens will be rent asunder with the clouds, the same way the vegetation comes out of the earth. يعني يخرج الغمام من السماء ويثور متتابعا وذلك لمجيء الله عز وجل الفصل بين عباده. This is all the events that will lead to the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the events that will take place prior to the preliminary events that will lead to the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فهو يوم رهيب عظيم. It is then a great, magnificent, great day. Horrifying is rahib more than magnificent actually. قوله ونزل الملائكة تنزيلا ينزلون من السماوات شيئا فشيئا تنزل ملائكة السماء الدنيا ثم الثانية ثم الثالثة وهكذا. As we mentioned already, so that the angels will be sent down also in groups, so you know, gradually. So the first the dunya, then the second heaven, then the third heaven, and so on and so forth. وهذه الآية في سياقها ليس فيها ذكر مجيء الله. The Shaykh said, in this ayah, there's no mention of Allah coming, by the way. It only speaks of the angels. لكن فيها الإشارة إلى ذلك. But it indicates. It indicates that because you understand this ayah in the light of other ayat. And the other ayat mention the same sequence of events. So it is understood. لأن تشقق السماء بالغمام إنما يكون لمجيء الله تعالى بدليل آيات السابقة. Because that event taking place, which is the coming of the clouds, is associated with the coming of Allah as we understood from the previous ayat. A. هذه أربع آيات ساقها المؤلف رحمه الله لإثبات صفة من صفات الله وهي المجيء والإتيان. He said these are four ayat cited by the Imam, the Muallif, the author, rahimahullah, to affirm a quality from the qualities of Allah, which is that of coming. وأهل السنة والجماعة يثبتون أن الله يأتي بنفسه. أهل السنة والجماعة affirm that Allah will come Himself عز وجل. لأن الله تعالى ذكر ذلك عن نفسه. Because Allah told us that about Himself in the Quran. And this is the strongest evidence. Allah told you that in the Quran. وهو سبحانه أعلم بنفسه وبغيره. And Allah is more knowledgeable of Himself and more knowledgeable of others. وأصدق قيلا من غيره. And He is more truthful in speech. Huh? وأحسن حديثا and better in speech. More truthful and better in terms of the choice of words. فكلامه مشتمل على أكمل العلم والصدق والبيان والإرادة. The statements of Allah, Allah's speech contains the most perfect of knowledge and the most perfect of truthfulness and the most perfect of eloquence and clarity and the most perfect of intent. يعني all the best speech is the speech of Allah. Right? خير الكلام كلام الله. The best speech is the speech of Allah عز وجل. So all of these qualities, you're going to say that is something hidden? فالله عز وجل يريد أن يبين لنا الحق وهو أعلم وأصدق وأحسن حديثا. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى wants to clarify the truth for us, and He is more knowledgeable, more truthful, and He is better in speech. لكن يبقى سؤال, هل نعلم كيفية هذا المجيء? A question remains. Do we know the manner of how this coming will take place? الجواب لا نعلمه. The answer is we do not know it. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى أخبرنا أنه يجيء ولم يخبرنا كيف يجيء. Allah told us in the Quran that He comes, but He did not tell us how He will do so. ولأن الكيفية لا تعلم إلا بالمشاهدة. Because knowing something or the manner how something is done can only be acquired through seeing. You have to see the thing. أو مشاهدة النظير. Or you see something that resembles it, something similar to that. أو الخبر الصادق, or some accurate information, news that you can refer to عنها. وكل هذا لا يوجد في صفات الله. All of these are not available when it comes to the attributes of Allah. You haven't seen it, you haven't seen anything like it, and there's no such information that you have from the Prophet ﷺ. So then you cannot really say anything about that. ولأنه إذا جهلت الذات جهلت الصفات. Because if you don't know the essence, then you will not be able to know the attributes. أي كيفية, meaning the manner, how. فالذات موجودة وحقيقية ونعرفها ونعرف ما معنى الذات وما معنى النفس. So the essence, the that is known and it is real and we know what it means and we know what a person's self means. وكذلك نعرف ما معنى المجيء. And similarly we know what مجيء means, coming, we know what it means. لكن كيفية الذات أو النفس وكيفية المجيء غير معلوم لنا. But the howness or the manner of the that of Allah, Allah Himself, we don't know of. If we don't know that, then likewise we will not be able to know how the coming occurs. Because we don't know even the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except what He told us in the Quran and through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, from just knowledge. Nothing that is tangible, nothing that is something that you can see. It's all abstract. فنؤمن بأن الله تعالى بأن الله يأتي حقيقة وعلى كيفية تليق به مجهولة لنا. So we believe that Allah عز وجل shall come in truth in a manner that befits His majesty that is unknown to us. That is what it is. In the next week inshallah ta'ala, we will be dealing with those who negated or opposed Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning this belief system and how to refute them. How to refute them and explain the correct position that is being held in this particular aqidah. Let me just finalize. So with this, inshallah, we'll wait bi'idhnil azza wa jalla if we all remain alive till next week. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, shadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.